Shalom, my dear brethren. God bless you all. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Genesis chapter 28, verse 15. Genesis chapter 28, verse 15. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, How dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Our Lord, thank you, Lord, for creating us. Our Master, thank you, Master, for teaching us. Our Savior, thank you, Lord, for washing us from our sins and saving all of us from the paths of destruction. Lord, we thank you for your mercy today. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us the grace to serve you. We are not worthy, but yet, Lord, you decided that you will show your love to us and we will receive it. Lord, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for visiting us. We were blind, we were deaf and mute, we were lame and we were leper. We were sick and possessed by our very own thoughts and desires and flesh. But Lord, you delivered us. You broke all the chains. You redeemed us from strongholds. You delivered us from captivity. You healed us from sickness, physically, spiritually, mentally, as a whole. You healed us from all sickness. The great physician. Thank you, Lord, that you call all of us to be part of the body of Christ. Amen. Lord, we pray, may you bless us, Lord, to be grateful to you. Amen. Teach us, Lord, how can we be faithful for the only one who is called the true and faithful witness. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness in our lives. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for yesterday, and thank you, Lord, for all our lives. So far, you have kept us spiritually safe. And we are standing here singing songs unto thee. We could have been lost. We could have forsaken you. But Lord, you decided, I will not leave thee until I have done what I have promised thee. Lord, for that reason, O Lord, we are standing here. Not because we wanted to stand. Not because we are holy. Not because we are righteous. Not because we are good people. Because you have decided, I will not leave you until I have fulfilled what I have promised you, the word of God. Glorious Jesus Christ, we submit at thy feet. We surrender our lives at thy feet. Help us, Lord. God of Jacob is our help. Help all of us. We all need your help. We are needy people, Lord. You are the only one who can help us. Who are we, Lord, to help you? Everything bows to thee. We are all created for you, by you, in you, and through you. And we can do all things through Christ Jesus, who will strengthen us, not to be strong, to overcome the flesh, to strengthen us. Not to be strong, to overcome our desires, he will strengthen us. Not to be haughty, to overcome our pride, to be humble, he will strengthen us in spirit. For there is no other strength other than the clothing of the Holy Spirit. Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit. It's not about who runneth, it's not about who willeth, but all about who showeth mercy. Our Lord, our God, we thank you. Thank you for today. Thank you for the loved ones in our family, the family of God, not our earthly family, Lord. When Joshua said, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. That is the house of God, Lord. That is the house of God in which the landlord, the head, is you. You are our master. You are the head of our house. And we are part of your house. As for we and our house, we shall serve thee. Help us, Lord, to keep the church of God, to keep the family of God at the preeminence that is supposed to be in our lives. Because, O Lord, we are united by the blood of Christ, not by the blood of men, not by the blood of women, but by the blood, the precious blood of Christ that was shed on Calvary for the remission of all our sins. That living bird flying around has a blood all over it. And that blood was shed by the Creator, the Lord Almighty, our Savior, our Redeemer, the friend who told us, I called you as my friend, and who gave his life for his friends. Blessed be your holy name. Amen. Lord, as we continue to learn from the book of Leviticus concerning the priesthood, teach us, Lord, how to be clean, how to present ourselves in all truth, in all transparency, in all restitution, in all repentance for a true change, to be washed thoroughly by thy beautiful divine water of life and by the blood of Christ and the Spirit that sealing all of us to be protected unto the day of redemption. We thank you for all things. We bless your holy name for the family of God, not just in this land, but all the precious family of God, our brethren who are joining us from different corners of the earth right now, and all those who would join us every single day as you have appointed in our life. Lord, we thank you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we surrender everything. May you walk in the midst of us. Touch us, speak to us, bless us, and Lord, help us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom, my dear brethren. God bless you, brethren joining from overseas. May the Lord bless you all richly. By God's grace, we will continue from Leviticus chapter 13. Chapter 13. Prepare your hearts for the Lord to speak to you. Amen. And prepare your mind to receive the mind of Christ. If you are not prepared, the Lord can help us to go through a beautiful rain of healing, and we would be finding shelter. And the Lord would send a storm for us to escape and run to the shelter, and you would be thinking the Lord is sending rain, and you would be soaking ourselves to the point whereby the lightning will come and strike us to death. Discernment, when to find shelter and when to get soaked in the rain. Discernment, when to keep quiet and when to speak. Discernment, when to dance and sing and when to be burdened to go on the knees to pray. Discernment to encourage one another, and discernment to speak the truth in love. It will never be possible because of you. It would never be possible because of what we learned or who we are, because discernment itself is a truth. Amen. What is discernment? The Lord takes a sword and he decides which branch to cut off. So the sword belongs to him, and he is the sword, and he cuts it, everything he does it. And what is our discernment? Humbly accept and receive and acknowledge with a cheerful heart that God is righteous. For that reason, whatever happens in my life, I am still bound to the righteous roof of my Almighty. No one can bypass him. Amen? No one can bypass God and come and hurt you. There is no one up to this date we could not find who is holy, righteous, beautiful, truth than him. And there is no other name other than the only name that is given to all of us. Leviticus 13, as we read in sincerity and truth. Verse 44. He is a leprous man. He is unclean. The priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean. His plague is in his head. Not on the skin. Not at your feet. Not on your body. The plague is in his head. The reality of what we go through as a seventh church age, the battle in the mind. Amen? The plague is always in the mind. As we are part of this land by God's grace, what is the biggest challenge this land is going through? Depression. Everything is there. Everything has been provided abundantly, marvelously helped. But yet, people suffer with deep pain in the mind, deep pain in the heart. They could not receive healing. They could not receive deliverance. That pain, depression, is part of the biggest challenge from the wickedness, from the high places. The prince of this land, who wants to torment and destroy the children of God and rejoice, suffer, cry in pain. So what is the role of a church of God in a land? For us to make sure our group has 50 and all 50 should cross the river of Jordan. If Moses and Aaron had thought of this, they would have crossed the river of Jordan, same as Elijah and Elisha. They too crossed. Everybody else were told to wait other side, all the other prophets. The two prophets crossed the other side, and one was taken, and one was left, and the one who was left, he had to bow down to take the mantle of Elijah, and he started the work of Elijah. A church of God is never about you, never about me, not about any of us, but those who are outside the territory, being destroyed, tormented, taken as captives every single second. The world population as we speak today, every second, how many people die? Every second, how many people die? So if that number of people who dies every second becomes one of our family members, we go on our knees and we beat to our chest and we pray, Lord, cry. Lord, I cry. Lord, heal me. Heal my father. Heal my mother. Heal my husband. Heal my wife. Heal my son. Heal my daughter. Heal my granddaughter. Heal my grandson. Heal my uncle. This and that. But when that happens to someone whom we do not know, it's a news. It's an update. Oh, 35 people killed by a van driver. Oh, what a worst evil attitude it is. But what if you are one of them? What if your family is one of them? Then you cry. Selfishness has been the biggest challenge of humankind from the Garden of Eden. If Eve was selfless, she should have checked with Adam. But rather, she was selfish to get something that she wanted, and she disobeyed. Jesus Christ, our Lord, when he walked on Calvary, his blood was keep on shedding. Did he do it for the 12 disciples? Did he do it for the 70 who came from somewhere else to enter into Egypt to reach the promised land, Goshen, at that point of time? Did he shed the blood for all the people of Israel who were circumcised by Joshua and who entered the promised land? He gave his life as a ransom for all. Amen? All. He gave his all for all because he is all in all. Amen? So if we don't even have the fundamental understanding of why the church is alive, we may be confounded to the point whereby us, our church, our brothers, our sisters, my brethren, the truth is there are people who are better than you outside the church. There are people who rejoice the Lord's Spirit outside the church. There are people who are more sincere than you outside the church. And there are people who are more loving, more kind, more sincere, more truthful to you outside the church than you outside the church. So the Lord is teaching us
Our life is not about us. It's all about what we do, something meaningful for someone before we die. Amen? Even if it is one, blessed be the name of the Lord. God called Abraham when he was 70 plus. And Abraham died when he was 175. The Bible did not tell us what he was doing for 100 years. Jesus was doing his ministry only for 3 years. Barely 3 years. But there are 4 gospels written about him. 100 years of Abraham is unknown to us. 3 years of ministry is revealed to us. And what the servants of God did in the Old Testament, only what was supposed to be revealed to us for our edification, the Lord revealed. The rest the Lord kept. Amen? We have no idea what God revealed to Moses. Only what was supposed to be shared to the people of Israel that can be beneficial to the 7th church age, the Lord opened up. But God and Moses would have been talking about so many things. Because the Lord said, I rejoice in the fellowship of my creation who is filled with my spirit. The Lord is basically counseling with himself. Don't we understand? Jesus might have said so many things to Peter, John and James. Or else he would not have kept them closer as his inner circle. It was also a lesson to the 9 remaining of them. To understand, the Lord is not partial, but yet he is righteous in what he do. If the rest of the 9 disciples thought, why they are special? That's exactly what happened to Miriam and Korah. Why Moses is special? Last Sunday, we focused on the sequence of how the Lord delivered Miriam. Chapter 12, Miriam spoke against Moses. The Lord gave her a chance to live. That leprosy was not a punishment. It was a merciful chance to Miriam for her to live. 4 chapters later, 16, Korah did the same. Do you understand why? Korah also witnessed, right? Miriam made a mistake. The worst punishment we could get was 7 days of isolation in the form of leprosy. And we can come back to the tent. Isn't it? That is how the Lord dealt. Miriam spoke. The Lord came and said, why are you speaking bad about Moses? I'm going to give you leprosy. You please go and stay in the tent. Korah thought, maybe the Lord is so merciful, so gracious, so kind. At the worst case, Gatam, Abiram, and all my 250 allied groups, at the worst case, we will be resting outside the camp for 7 days and the Lord will bring us back. Why? Because God is with us. The only reason they went against Moses was God is with us. God is in us. We are for God. Isn't it? Korah was not worshipping any idols. He was not worshipping any evil gods. No. He and all those who were with him, they were worshipping the same God. Moses and people were worshipping. But what God surprised them was, he did not give them a chance. He did not give them a plague. He did not tell them any warning. But rather, he devoured them. One group, earth, swallowed them up. Like how the Lord swallowed up death. Other group, he burned them by the fire. Those who are holding the incense of fire. So now the question is, was it over? At the most, 250 companions of Korah and 3, Korah, Datam, Abiram, maybe the family member, let's say approximately 260 or 270, let's say 300, worst case. Around 300 were eliminated by the Lord Almighty for causing something that would compromise the journey of Israel. Amen? But was the story over? Was the story over? What we read just now. He is a leprous man. He is unclean. The priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean. His plague is in his head. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled, he is unclean. And he shall dwell alone without the camp, shall his habitation be. King Uzziah could not escape what was spoken in Leviticus 13. His habitation shall be not from the congregation, not in the congregation, but far away, even if you are a king of Israel. My brethren, how many years King Uzziah served as a king? Anyone remembers? How many years King Uzziah served as a king? 52 years. 12 years more than the wilderness. Do you hear me? He was appointed as a king when he was 16 years old. He ruled the longest period, more than David, more than Saul, more than Solomon. 52 years. That track record did not help Uzziah to find the 7 days mercy. Scripture says he died as a leper and he dwelt in several houses, not one house. So the Lord is ruthless. The Lord has no mercy. The Lord has no grace. Is it? What was the original name of Uzziah? Azariah. That was the original name of Uzziah. Who is the chief priest challenged Uzziah? Azariah. Surprising, right? The original name of Uzziah is also called Azariah. He is the son of Amaziah. When he went and offered the sacrifice, thinking that he can do the priestly duties being the king, he thought, I'm a king. Please submit to me. I will go and offer sacrifices in the altar. He did. Who came to challenge him? Azariah. What is the name of Uzziah? Azariah. What Uzziah might have thought? Your name, my name, same, right? Possibly same. You are a priest, submit to my name, submit to me, kingship. But Azariah challenged. Azariah became leper. Do you hear me? Azariah, the high priest, challenged. Azariah, the king, became a leper. And what is even more ironic is, the meaning of the name Azariah is, God has helped. Beautiful meaning, right? And the meaning of Uzziah is, the Lord is my power. So Azariah, the king, whose name was God has helped. Not just God will help. God has helped. That is the meaning of his name. And he became a mighty king. Chariots, horses, defense mechanisms, people here and there. And all the enemies, nations, they said, King Uzziah, King Uzziah. His name was exalted. Then King Uzziah, the Lord is my power. But the problem is, yes, true. Lord is his power. And he became his own Lord. From God has helped, he reached a state of the Lord is my power, thinking that he is serving the Lord, but the Lord says, you are the master of your heart. You are the Lord of your life. And that King Uzziah became a leper by the high priest Azariah, who still hold on to the purpose of his life. God has helped, and he came and challenged him, don't bring the incense of fire to the tabernacle, because you are not supposed to do. Why? Moses said that. Why? God told Moses. So, when the priest said, utterly unclean, for someone who is unclean, I brought the name Korah, and Miriam is watching, right? Chapter 12, Miriam had an experience, she recovered. And 16, Miriam is also an audience to what's going on. What she would think? Korah, no. Tatam Abiram, no. Oh, 250, no. I escaped, not because I'm a good person, because the Lord wanted to show mercy. He wanted me to live, to die later. But don't you do it. Nobody could convince those who went against God and Moses because they thought they are doing a service to God, isn't it? Now, what is more challenging, shocking is, what happened after the Lord eliminated Korah, Datam, Abiram, or all the 250, after the Lord eliminated, the most painful damage came after they died, not when they were alive. After the problem is solved, what would you say? Thank you, Lord, for delivering us. Thank you, Lord, for healing us from the sickness, from the pain, from the isolation. Thank you, Lord, for everything. Praise the Lord. But the real challenge comes after that. Turn your Bibles. Number 16. Number 16.
Look at the challenge after what happened.
I will read from verse 39 for a reason. Because as of number 16, Aaron is alive, correct? He's alive. But number 20, Aaron is gone. Miriam, gone. But number 16, Aaron is alive. But there is a name mentioned here. 39. And Eleazar, the priest, took the brazen censers, wherewith they that were burnt had offered.
So the high priest, Aaron, is still alive. And Eleazar, the son of Aaron, is still the priest. Because he also received the instructions. He also received the clothing. He also received the garment. He was also blessed, sanctified, consecrated, anointed, and most importantly, prayed for by Moses with the power of the Lord. Amen. So now that Eleazar is coming, for what? To clean. Although the Lord eliminated all the flesh, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the wickedness and high places. Amen. Now, after the cleansing is done, there is some leftover. Do you hear me? Something leftover. What? Things that were holding. Fire burnt, earth devoured, swallowed them up, but whatever they were holding, it fell on the ground. Correct? Eleazar the priest took the brazen censers wherewith they that were burnt had offered. Those who offered were burnt, but what they offered was still on the ground. The mantle that was with Elijah fell when the chariot came and took the prophet Elijah. It was taken by who? Prophet Elisha. Amen? Goodness of the Lord will be keep on passed to his generations. The wickedness, the dark cloud, the plague of leprosy, the bad one, not the good one, because there are two. I will go there. One that makes you, that wash you as white as snow. True repentance, true change. And one that destroys you, makes you to become a bad person. No repentance, no change. So now, the incense that they were carrying in their hand, Eleazar the priest took it. And what he did, they were made broad plates for a covering of the altar. Covering of the altar. When David killed Goliath, what he did, my brothers and sisters, he took the armor of Goliath, he took it and he kept it in his camp, right? In his tent. For what? In those days, whenever a mighty soldier comes victorious, they will take some trophy. Something like a trophy to remind themselves. The Lord gave this victory. Amen? Oh, this much shekels of silver, mighty armor. Yeah. Oh, so sorry. Only the armor is left. What happened to the guy? Oh, he is dead already. It's also a mockery to Philistines, isn't it? Whenever Philistines think, we are going to come against Israel, let's say David shows the armor alone with a long stick. This was the Goliath last time you brought. The armor is here, but he is not to be found. So Goliath, David took the armor of Goliath, put it in his tent, like a memorial for the people to be encouraged. And all the people of Israel, they had the courage and that bravery to go and defeat all the Philistines, isn't it? That's how we read the scripture. Now Eleazar took the incense, same like the armor for those 250 and the rebellious group. And now that incense, Eleazar, he made it into something, broad plates, for a covering of the altar, like the tent of David. To be a memorial unto the children of Israel, that no stranger which is not of the seed of Aaron come near to offer incense before the Lord. That's exactly what high priest Azariah told Uzziah. But Korah was killed. Uzziah was allowed to live. Is it mercy or anger? The Lord who destroyed this group did not destroy Uzziah, but rather he allowed him to live as a leper. He could have killed him. The Lord struck Nabal. Nabal died. The Lord struck Uzzah. Uzzah died. Not much different. Uzzah, Uzziah. Just one single letter word. I. Uzziah the king. Uzzah the one who thought he's going to help the Ark of the Covenant. He went and supported the Ark. And the Lord struck him. He died on the spot. Why? The Lord did not say that. The Lord did not say, when the oxen travel, there will be a shaking, and the Ark of the Covenant may fall to the right or the left. Whoever is nearby, please go and catch it. There was no instruction given.
You can't be smarter than God. You can never be more intelligent than God. Obedience may look like a foolishness, but it is a true wisdom, true intelligence. Why? Obedience is impossible if the Spirit of the Lord is not in you. Obedience is impossible if the Lord is not leading us in His Spirit. Because in order for the Lord to lead you, you must empty your house, you must empty your desires, empty yourself as a person who you are, and ask the Lord for the strength and help to deny yourself. Then the Spirit can take over, correct? Yes. Without denying myself, how can I ask the Lord to take me over? How lead me over? How can I ask the Lord to control my life if I do not deny myself? Uzziah did not deny when the chance was given. Uzzah could have denied before he went. And now here, Korah, Tatam, Abiram, 250, they were given plenteous opportunities. Not just that. Miriam was a living example for them what happened when the Lord dealt with Miriam, isn't it? Yet they could not see. Why? It's because of the thought, God is with us mightily. Marvelously, God is helping us. Exactly the same word Uzziah went through. God marvelously helped him by not chastening him, by not pruning him, by not smiting him. And Uzziah thought, God is marvelously helping me. Now look at this verse, what happened after that. No stranger which is not of the seed of Aaron come near to offer incense before the Lord, that he be not as Korah. So Korah became a memorial, a sign. None of us are here to think, who is Korah? The bad man. My brethren, Old Testament, all the names are like what I read in the very first of the sermon. I said, Jacob gave a name to the place, Bethel, but it was called Luz. Amen? A name is a remembrance of what the Lord did in that place. Of what the Lord gave something to his children in that place. Remembrance, memorial. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. If you cross over Jordan, if you go and dance in the Mount Zion, if Korah is dancing next to you, what would you see? What would you say? Hey, you are not supposed to be here. I saw a number 16, you spoke against my forefather Moses. I curse you. You will die. Oh, is it? Is it how we read scripture? To discern who is bad, who is right? Or to discern what is good, what is not? You know what a big difference it is? To say who is good, who is bad is judgment to death. To discern what is good, what is not is a life of knowledge and wisdom with the fear of God. If King Saul is having a higher seat in the table when the Lord calls you for a dinner, and you say, 90 years, 70 years, I struggle for you. I hold on to faith. I was sincere for you. I never forsook you. How can you put me down and lifted up King Saul who forsook you? If you say that, then we don't know scripture. The name is a lesson. Amen? Not a person. Old Testament, names are lessons, not persons. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. There is a life in every name you see in scripture. If you see Goliath as a man, you would see, what an evil person. He was speaking bad against David. If I see him, I will form a team, I will shoot him down. No. What if the Lord calls you, my son, my daughter, I have a job to do. I want to give a lesson to King Saul in Israel. Okay, Lord, what can we do? I want you to be the Goliath. Would you say okay? Would you say amen? Would you say amen? You said he is your creator. He owns you. So if the Lord owns you for your mighty, beautiful, powerful, divine, testimonial life, you would say, hallelujah. If the Lord uses you for a shameful testimony, you say, Lord, why? What I did wrong? What you did wrong? All have sinned. We fall short of the glory of the Lord. Do not forget the default state. So, if the Lord calls you to become Goliath, we say, nay. If the Lord calls you to become David, we say, yea. Then the Lord says, yes, you are David, right? Now I want you to do this sinful shame with Bathsheba. No. I will skip this. Give it to someone. I will come back when David is back to the throne. My brethren, we are not here to rejoice when the ship is sailing smoothly. We are here to rebuild the ship when it goes through storm. That is true church. Amen? Those are the true servants of God who are called the true worshippers of God. That is exactly what the Old Testament teaches. So now, what we are going to read now is a set of people were influenced by the cloud of misunderstanding, a dark cloud. Around 260 died, and for simplicity, we keep 300. Because when the servant of God sent 300 foxes, it went and destroyed all the field, right? That's a good number to remember, 300, approximately. So you can say, Lord is merciful. He took the breach from the camp. 300 gone. Praise the Lord. It is not as worst as this 3,000 who were killed by Moses or 24,000 who were killed under the plague when Sennacherib threw the spear. Thank you, Lord. 300 is a small number because we are a multitude. We can actually reproduce and compensate this who lost. No. Listen to what happened later. And 41 says, but on the morrow, all the congregations of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. Today is the day. The day was over. Tomorrow, next day. Today is the day. Begins. And what happens? Something happened overnight. Something happened to people's mind. It's not fair. We witnessed them all our life. They were walking with us together, doing all things, building the tabernacle, pitching the tent. They were doing all the hard work. But yet, what happened is not fair. It's because Aaron and Moses cursed them. And because of the curse, the Lord was forcibly, he had to punish them. People murmured. What Miriam would say, oh come on. That's exactly what I did 4 chapters before. So Miriam murmured. Now the entire congregation is murmuring. Korah rebelled, and that rebellion, that's a plague. It's an influence. It is going to cleave unto the heart of the people now. 300 died. Okay. Read what happened next. Moses and Aaron, they murmured again, saying, ye have killed the people of the Lord. And it came to pass when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron. It's the same verse when Korah gathered people against Moses, against Aaron. Korah died. So now remember, what is leprosy? How it is introduced in Leviticus? Something influenced by you defile yourself by touching the dead. What? By touching the dead. Dead corpse will give you some disease, and that disease was called to be leprosy. In those days, we don't know the name because the word leprosy is a modern name. In those days, it could have been some other name to represent the plague. And it was called like something defiled you. You need help. You need healing. You need deliverance. Either you are healed completely or you better consume by it completely. Two extremes. Amen? Two extremes. The plague, the leprosy that covered all flesh became clean. The plague, leprosy disappeared, became clean. Two different extremes. Not by who runneth or willeth, but by who showeth mercy. Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit. So there are two different outputs of plagues. Listen to me. One, when the Lord says, I put my Spirit in you. Amen? What do you say? Thank you, Lord. I receive it. I receive it. Spirit, right? Your Spirit, right? It sounds beautiful. I'll receive it. Okay. That Spirit goes in you. Okay. It becomes a plague. Okay. And that plague will eat your flesh. Okay. Will it be painful? Oh, super painful. Is it short suffering? No, no. Always long suffering. Okay. And that Spirit will become like a plague and destroy all your desires. Okay. And shave your eyebrows. Oh, if I shave my eyebrows, nobody can recognize me. Exactly why? Exactly. It will shave your head. I will look bad. Exactly. Because there is only one head of the Christ. Head church. He is called the head of the church. All of us, we lose our eyebrows, we lose our mustache, all the whatever the beauty that can tell you. He is who he is. If I can shave everything, all of us look like aliens. Who? Nobody can recognize nobody. Amen? Exactly. So that plague will give you some pain, some disturbances, will make you uncomfortable, you will feel up and down, left to the right. But it will do good. Because you will receive the glorious body by the Holy Spirit. That is, that plague consumes you in spirit and helps you to overcome the flesh. And the priest shall see your skin was different. You thought that is a better skin, but now your skin is completely full of leprosy, not the bad one, but the good one. I pronounce you clean. You know why? You received it. You accepted it. You denied yourself for the plague to spread. But that is a half-cooked state. Neither here, nor here, patches, spots, bright spots, cap. And the Lord says, unclean. Lord, I'm serving you. I heal you. I do this and that. But the Lord says, unclean, I never knew you. The scripture speaks the same at all times in beautiful language, in beautiful light of the scripture. Different flavors, but same nutrition, life. So, one plague that destroys you, judge you to death. Another plague that makes you, judge you to life. And there is one who sits in the center who can say, I can heal you as well. So, healing is one. Cleaning is one. Delivering is one. Redeeming is one. So, the Lord has different ways of saving people. He is called Savior. He heals, delivers, breaks, makes, washes. He do different things. Now you read what happens to this plague. What is the plague? The thought that these 300 had, they died. Eliezer took the incense. He made a broad place to remind all the congregation, this is going to trouble your mind. It is going to give you some nightmare. It is going to make you to think something unholy. Be aware. So Eliezer made the broad blade of remembrance, a memorial. People saw, memorial. Aaron would say, memorial. The Lord told us to be a memorial unto me continually. Keep the flame, have the toll stones on the bread place, all the gold plate to bear the iniquity of the holy things. Aaron would be saying, Lord, I am experiencing what you taught me. Amen? The Lord spoke. Then the Lord threw Aaron into the valley for him to experience. If you tell your child, don't touch the fire, the child would say, as if it's going to hurt me. The child would go and touch the fire. Oh, it's very hot. Oh, of course. Now you don't have to tell anymore. Because the child experienced it. Aaron became a high priest, not by a certificate of the Lord's endorsement. The Lord made him to experience, to be worthy of his calling. Experience. Amen. So now Aaron is witnessing all. He saw his sister and he told the Lord through Moses, I am the one who committed sin. Now Aaron is witnessing again, one redeemed, 300 destroyed. Is it over? The Lord says, it's not over until I say over. What he says in verse 42, and it came to pass when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of congregation. That is exactly where the memorial is also placed. But yet they could not see. Do you hear me? Eliezer would be like, please look at this broad plate of memorial, broad plate. You know, this broad plate came from the incense. You know, this incense people were holding. You know, those people, they are not here anymore. He was trying to remind them, but the people look at the tabernacle, but they were waiting for answers. They were waiting for judgment. They were waiting for clarification. They were waiting for reasoning. They could not see the memorial at the altar. So what happened? And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation. But before that, one came who always come the first. Verse 42. And behold, the cloud covered it and the glory of the Lord appeared. Miriam will be like, here we go. All again. We go again. The Lord comes in a cloud again. And the glory of the Lord appeared and the cloud came and covered the tabernacle. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, not to Aaron. Look at the way the Lord communicates. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. Moses had been through these exercises several times. He knows how to respond. Because the Spirit of God is leading him. The Lord says, Moses, I'm very angry. Just move aside. I'm going to consume all. Moses will be like, of course, I'm not moving. I will stand. Aaron said, if I move, Miriam will be burned to death, like the wife of Lot, who became pillar of salt. Aaron says, no, I will stand before thee continually to protect my loved ones. Standing in the gap. Interceding is not a joke. Amen? Never a joke. You have to truly truly be prepared to stand in the gap. Even though whatever you lose, your reputation, your face, your eyebrows, your hair, whatever the beauty that you want to behold, the Lord would shave everything to see whether you truly serve Him or you want to be called as a good man. The Lord knows. Uzziah wanted to become a powerful king. The Lord says, marvelously helping you to the point whereby his heart was lifted up to his own destruction. Worst thing to happen to a king who could not be challenged by the enemies, but rather by his very own heart. Amen? So now, and the Lord is speaking here, and what Moses and Aaron did, same as what Abraham would do, same as what Jacob would do, they fell upon their faces. You know, all the servants of God, they do the same. Because when they see the Spirit of God comes, they know the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. They fell upon their faces. Apostle John fell upon his face. In the Patmos Island, did the same. Now, what happens here? And Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer and put fire therein from off the altar and put on incense and go quickly and to the congregation and make an atonement for them. So the Lord says, you know what? I don't know how long I can hold my anger, okay? I don't know. Because I have, in order for me to turn away from anger, I have to use my everlasting mercy, my unconditional love, my promises to remind me and to turn from the moment of anger. The Lord says, go and make a quick atonement. Run. The Lord says, like, learn from Abraham. He was running here and there, hasten to provide the needs of the Lord and the two angels. Run. Don't be complacent. When Aaron and Moses did it, and here we read verse 46, the Lord says, the wrath gone out from the Lord. What? The wrath gone out from the Lord. So it is not with the Lord anymore, is it? What does it mean? The fire came from the presence of the Lord. The origin of that anger, of that wrath, is from the Lord. When Uzziah was rebelling against the priest, leprosy came forth from his forehead. Amen? It was inside, came out. Nothing could be hidden, came out. Nothing can be kept a secret, uncovered as a shame. Came out. The wrath of God went from the Lord. And Aaron took as Moses commanded, ran. He was not walking. Obedience. The whole sermon series, Aaron is the vessel through whom we learn. A life of obedience. Aaron, elder than many people in the congregation. And he was serving like Jesus when he bent and washed the feet of disciples. Aaron, never forget his name. His name means strength, like a mountain, but yet he was soft like a water. He ran and he held in the midst of the congregation. And behold, what was begun, my friends? The plague was begun. Wrath of God went forth, plague began. Love of God went forth, outpouring of the Spirit began. They are not different. They are the same. Depends on which side we are standing and watching. Outside the beautiful gate or inside the beautiful gate. Outside the wall that Nehemiah built or inside the wall, who built the wall together with Nehemiah? The Lord Himself. Now, when the plague went forth, began among the people, and he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. Not Moses, Aaron. Because he is called to bear the iniquity of the holy things. Amen? Now, what happens? He stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. A king cannot do it. A mighty soldier, a chief captain like Naaman, or chief captain Rabshakeh, cannot do it. He stood between living and dead. When your Savior died for your sins, he descended into Sheol. The book of Peter talks about he was preaching to the souls in captive. And he ascended on the third day. He took the keys from hell for you and me. And the Lord, who was walking in flesh, died, descended. He is standing between the dead and the living one on the earth. And he was resurrected to be seated at the right hand of the Father and the glorious Jesus Christ who is above all. He earned it. Amen. He received it. He did not simply claim it. He earned it. He walked for it. He shed blood for it. He received shame for it. He was stripped. He was smote in the head. People spat on his face. And we talk about, I can't take the pain that hurts my heart. The Lord says, people spat on my face and I stood firm. And Leviticus says, the plague of leprosy will make you to wash your eyebrows and shave your head to the point whereby nobody will recognize you, but just as one among the leper, because not even inside congregation, spiritually speaking. Shame, the one who went through shame, is the one who is anointed, the anointed, who is honored, the honored, who has all the glory and power and all the dominion. He has everything, is the one who went through all the shame. I remember the Lord blessed me to receive this inspiration in my heart. You cannot pray and get humility. You cannot learn and receive humility. You have to understand what happened in Calvary. If you truly understand, you will be humiliated forever. I repeat, you will be humiliated forever if you truly understand what happened on Calvary. If you simply think, he just died for me, resurrected, I am humble, I'm telling you, you are not. The revelation of Calvary will humiliate you forever. Every day, day and night, it will never let you to be puffed up. Because what happened on Calvary, remember this, John the Apostle, he saw Jesus, he says, he could not see him, he fell upon his face. He was like a light, unapproachable light. And that Lord was stripped for you. They smote in his head. They kicked him. They tortured him. They spat on his face. He stood firm. He was quiet. He was silent. He endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. Your salvation. If we are not humiliated by this, we would never be humiliated by anything. If we are not humbled by this, we are not going to be humbled by anything. Calvary is the only way one can stay humble and humility. There is no other way. That is why he has another name. I am the way. No matter whichever the way you see me, I am the way. Amen? Calvary or Garden of Gethsemane or him walking, dancing with his disciples, whichever the way you see him, he is the way. Now you receive what the Lord is going to do in the congregation later. Because there was a breach by a group of people. The Lord silenced the people, but the breach was still alive. Do you hear me? The priest went and looked the house. He found the stone that had the plague, like a greenish layer on top of it. He took that stone, threw it, and put another stone, applied the mortar, pasted it. Priest had to wait 1 week. For what? There could be some microorganism, like that microbacterium leprae, that living organism, maybe inside the wall, can come forth, can come out later, takes time to counsel in evil ways, come forth for maximum damage. So the priests have to wait to see if it is completely cleaned or not. So Moses and Aaron, they are waiting for the side effect of the rebellion of Korah. People always remember the rebellion of Korah. But my brethren, the side effect was the most painful one. Read this. Verse 48. He stood between the dead and the living and the plague was stayed. So people were dying. And Aaron, making atonement, he stood between dead and living. Look at the next few verses. And now they that died in the plague were 14,700. You add 300 to it. You can make it like a round number. 15,000 people died. But among them, 300 died first. 14,700 died the next day, tomorrow. Look at the side effect. Look at the plague that is cleaving unto people even after the vessel of adversity are taken. The Lord took the vessel, but the adversary stayed. Amen? Yes. So, whenever you remember the name Korah, you should remember 14,700 people were killed by the Lord as a side effect of what Korah did. That is the effect of evil speaking, evil thoughts in the name of serving God. Now, this 14,700 could not be saved by Aaron, could not be saved by Moses, could not be saved by anyone, even the one Miriam who could say, Lord, I did this, show the same mercy that you showed me, please show the same mercy. The Lord says, I am showing mercy, I'm stopping at 14,700. He was showing mercy. Now, it is not about the number of people who died. What is surprising is why the Lord allowed the priest to count the number. Think. 24,000, 3,000, 14,700, 5,000, 3,000. Remember all these numbers? Even in the Old Testament and the New Testament, why the Lord is counting? The Lord says, I am watching. Not just watching, weighing. Not just weighing, counting. He even counts the drops of the tears of the righteous people. How much more so? He won't count what we do against him. So now what happened? You see, beside them that died about the matter of Korah. What is that matter, my brethren? That is that the thing that you read in the book of Leviticus. You know the book of Leviticus, they could not write the name of Mycobacterium leprae because there was no science. They were so intelligent by God's grace. Good. Science made us to become, you know, dumb and fools. Those days people only had books. They had no 5G, 4G internet, all the distractions. They barely write on the floor. They were talking to people. There was, you know, people as closer. Moses, he simply called that thing spread in the house. That thing spread on the body. And here, 14,700 died beside Korah, beside the matter of Korah. The matter, what is the matter? Something the dead left behind and someone took it. The whole world is confounded by the ideologies of those who were dead, isn't it? They died, but the ideologies still live. They died, but the extreme belief of wrong faith still lives. They died, but the effect of false doctrines still live. They died, but the idol worship still live. There is only one who can put an end to it. But until then, the Lord says, I release you like sheep in the midst of wolves. Amen? So now, what happened after the rebellion is compared as the plague may break into the house again in the book of Leviticus. Now let's remember, last Sunday we only touched upon Uzziah. And I finished the Uzziah story with a name, interesting name, Prophet Isaiah. Correct? The Bible says, all that the king Uzziah did was written by Prophet Isaiah, son of Amos. Amen? Do you know, Prophet Isaiah did not start his prophetic ministry until the Lord finished his dealing with Uzziah? Turn your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 6. Let's go from Numbers to Isaiah. Book of Isaiah, chapter 6, verse 1 to 7. So we will read in a sequence so that we get the context of what happened to Isaiah. So Brother Clement, read it for us from verse 1 to verse 7 first, please.
In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robes filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim.
Amen.
Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And he cried to one another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. So I said, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it. And he said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged."
Please continue, brother, until verse 13.
Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am, send me." And he said, "Go and tell these people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of these people dull, and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return and be healed." And I said, "Lord, for how long?" And he answered, "Until the cities are laid waste and without inhabitant, the houses are without a man, the land is utterly desolate. The Lord has removed men far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land.
Amen.
But yet a tent will be in it, yes, and will return and be for consuming, as a terebinth tree or as an oak, whose stump remains when it is cut down. So the holy seed shall be its stump."
Amen. Thank you, brother. Verse 5. Look at the response of the vessel of God before the Lord takes the vessel for His glory, to use the vessel for His name. Isaiah says, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." How we started the sermon, Leviticus 13, "He is a leper, and the priest shall say, utterly unclean." And Isaiah says, "I am unclean. My lip is unclean." Leviticus says, "He shall cover the upper lip and say, unclean, unclean." Prophet Isaiah says, "My lip is unclean, and I'm saying I'm unclean." What a beautiful testament of the seed of God. Obey the word, not just that, live the word, because the Spirit of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Isaiah says, "Lord, King Uzziah died." The history says Uzziah and Isaiah, they were very close. Very close as friends, those who admired each other. That is how the record captures the relationship of Uzziah and Isaiah. Because Uzziah ruled 52 years. You look at the pattern. Samuel see King Saul. Wow. Bless the name of the Lord. The Lord called him. The Lord gave him a new heart. Anointed him. He's the first king of Israel. He served them so mightily. Going good, going good, going good. 10 years, 20 years. Going good. What happens? What happened to King Saul? What happened to the disquiet spirit, distressful thought? What happened? Then the Lord used King Saul to become a spectacle so that he can teach David and open the door for David to start the new journey. That doesn't mean that King Saul is the evil one to you. The Lord can use both the vessel of dishonor and vessel of honor, and He would get things done in a way He wants it to be. But for the rest of us, we look at the good things, we learn the good things, we appreciate the good things, we think about the good things. Bad things, it is not about you. It is nothing under your control. But good things, absolutely under your control. The Lord says, overcome evil by good. Amen? Overcome evil thought by good thought. Overcome evil word by good word. Overcome evil people by good people. You. Before the Lord gave the kingship to Solomon, do you know the biggest test Solomon passed? Not just stay quiet. No, not. The Lord was watching how Solomon speaks. Because the Lord knows Solomon has seen what the father did. Or heard what the father did. Because he was not alive when David committed the adultery with Bathsheba. That child died after 7 days. Amen? Like how we read in Leviticus 12, the woman gave birth to a child, 7 days she shall be separated, for she is unclean. But the mother and child, they were alive. But in Leviticus 12, talks about the purity. The woman has to overcome the blood-related issue and everything for it to recover. But in the New Testament, There was another woman who also had a blood issue. She was crawling in the midst of the crowd, looking for the garment of Jesus. Somehow, I must touch it. The tip of his garment, I shall be healed. Amen? And she touched it. She was healed. Spiritually, physically. Now you bring in the wife of David. Before she became the wife. Before he took Bathsheba as a wife, there was a child conceived. And that child, nothing but death. And the death lived for 7 days and died. Amen? Then the Lord blessed David to comfort Bathsheba as a wife. Then they give birth to Solomon. Now Solomon is a child growing. Now he is ready to take the throne from, not David, from the Lord Almighty. Amen? He is the Father in heaven. So now the Lord speaks to Solomon and Solomon says, Lord, my father, he walked in righteous ways. My father was a good man. My father, he kept his commandments. He obeyed in all things. Lord, thank you. He was speaking, honoring his father to the Lord Almighty, and God would be smiling. That is wisdom. That is true wisdom. Even before you ask for wisdom, I'm just going to reveal to you, it is in you. It is inside you. The Lord is just like a common crack the seed and show it to you. You are holding it all the while. You are part of the word. He's not going to add something to you. He's revealing yourself to you. Solomon was speaking as a wise man. But he didn't know, because until the Lord tell him, receive my wisdom, he received it. That was the first thing was good. But in between, Solomon was influenced by what? By wives. All the kings, King the Herod, who was influenced by Herodias, influenced by the wife, wanted to take the head of John the Baptist. Jezebel wanted to take the head of Prophet Elijah. Both the kings, they fell into the trap. Why? Why? Because when the Lord says, when Solomon talks to the Lord, Lord, my father was walking in righteous ways. Solomon, he overcome what happened to David by speaking what David did in good things, in the anointing of the Lord. And telling the Lord, Lord, I am overcoming evil by good. And the Lord granted the wisdom. But that wisdom was not sufficient for him. Why? He dropped it for the wisdom that was given by women. 300, 700, he was building high places. But in the end, that wisdom overcome what Solomon manifested as a weak flesh. Ecclesiastes, he says, I have seen everything under the sun. Isn't it? I have seen everything under the sun. I have experienced everything under the sun. I am the wisest king, people say. I was the richest king at that point of my life. Now, I am telling you all, there is nothing under the sun. Fear God and keep His commandment. That is called testimony. Why? People can say, Solomon, you don't know what it is. No, to overcome from offering sacrifice to Asherah. You don't know what it is to have multiple wives and managing them. You don't know what it is. Solomon says, come and hold me a cup of, you know, wine. I have been through all. More than what you could go through. I have been through all. Now I say, I was a fool, I was a sinner, I was stupid, I was wrong in so many ways. Fear God, keep His commandments. He must decrease and He must increase the true wisdom Solomon received before he died. Amen? True wisdom. So now, keeping this in your heart, read this verse, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 1. The vision of Isaiah the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah. One prophet who lived and see the life of the kings. What a major prophet. Although people call major minor, but the truth is, prophet is a prophet in whom the Almighty, the great work of God, the Spirit of God is working. Amen? But he lived. I'm representing the time span of Isaiah. He has seen what happened to Uzziah, his son Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. Remember? Isaiah was there when Hezekiah was going through tough times. Isaiah was there as a prophet of God. When Hezekiah went to the tabernacle, went to the temple to pray in sackcloth, prophet Isaiah was there speaking the words of life. Or else, Hezekiah cannot prosper. There is always a prophet needed for the people of Israel to prosper. For what? God's word must come to pass. By whom? A prophet. A vessel. Amen? A vessel. Now this vessel is telling, I am woe. Woe unto me. I am undone. I am unclean. I am nothing. Who? Prophet Isaiah. That attitude is the reason you read verse 1. Do you understand? That attitude is the reason you read verse 1. It says, vision of Isaiah, son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah, Jerusalem, Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah. He said, Isaiah, how come, man, you maintain consistency? Consistency, oh unto me, I am undone, I am unclean. That is my state. Whatever the good came out of me, blessed be the name of the Lord. That is the attitude of a servant of God. All the bad things I said, shame on me. All the good things you received, blessed be his holy name. That is the true worshipper of God. Isaiah is a beautiful example. What happened to Uzziah did not happen to Isaiah. Because Uzziah was a king. Isaiah was a prophet. Uzziah also wanted to be Azariah. Correct? That is where he failed. He was called to know himself. He knew himself as the king of Uzziah. He also wanted to be the priest of Israel. He wanted to be all in all. And the Lord says, no, 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 no. That was not part of the plan. Now you read from verse 10 to 20, brother. Same chapter. Book of Isaiah, verse 10 to 20. Chapter 1, verse 10 to 20. God bless you.
Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings and of rams, and the fat of fat cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls,
amen,
or of lambs or goats.
Amen.
When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand to trample my courts? Bring no more futile sacrifices.
Amen.
Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies. I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They are trouble to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you.
Praise
Even
God.
Though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean.
Amen.
Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes.
Amen.
Cease to do evil. Learn to do good.
Amen.
Seek justice.
Amen.
Rebuke the oppressor.
Amen.
Defend the fatherless.
Amen.
Plead for the widow.
Amen.
Come now and let us reason together.
Together.
Says the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow.
Amen.
Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool.
Yes.
If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land.
Amen.
But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Please be seated. You see, Isaiah is speaking what happened concerning the kingdom of Uzziah, because the Lord used Uzziah mightily. Do you know, Uzziah was doing things as a young boy, 16 years old, he became a king. He was guided by well-experienced priests, people around him. Bible says he was pleasing the Lord, doing great things, because God has helped. Is the meaning of his name. And God truly helped all the ways. All the ways. Let's go back and learn what happened to Uzziah. 2 Kings chapter 14. 2 Kings chapter 14. 2 Kings chapter 14. Verse 21. Then I will go to chapter 15, verse 1 to 7. Chapter 14, verse 21. And all the people of Judah, hear me, people of Judah, they took Azariah, which was 16 years old, and made him king
instead of his father, Amaziah. So what is the meaning of Azariah? God has helped. Never forget the meanings of the names of God's servants. It's not a joke. You don't believe me? What is the meaning of Elijah? What is the meaning of the name Elijah? Jehovah is my God. Beautiful. What is the meaning of Elisha? God is my salvation. Amen? Now you have Elijah on your right, Elisha on your left. Jehovah is my God. God is my salvation. You bring it together. Yahweh is my salvation. Yeshua, Jesus Christ. Two prophets in agreement. Peter and John, Paul and Silas, Aaron, Moses. The meanings of God's servants. It's a sermon to you. You can learn. Shemaiah, Eliashib, those who betrayed the Lord. If you look at the meaning of the name, you would be surprised. So Azariah, God has heard. Uzziah, the Lord is my power. Elijah, Jehovah is my God. Elisha, God is my salvation. Now, look at this. Verse 21 says, the way Azariah was appointed. Amen? Now go to chapter 15, verse 1 to 7. Chapter 15, verse 1 to 7. In the 27th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, began Azariah, the son of Amaziah, king of Judah, to reign. He is also called Uzziah. 16 years old was he when he began to reign. And he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. Blessed be the name of the Lord. His reign was 12 years more than the wilderness of Israel from Egypt to the promised land. 52 years he ruled. His reign was more than the years Jesus Christ was walking in flesh. Multifold more than the 3 years ministry Jesus was doing on the land. 52 years he ruled. Do you hear me? And his mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. Praise the Lord. Good start. Save that the high places were not removed, the people sacrificed and burned incense still on the high places, and the Lord smote the king. Second Chronicles unfolds the details of it. Second Kings just summarizes the gist of it. The Lord smote the king. When Uzziah was wroth. My brethren, never take pleasure or pride when you are wroth. It will never do good to you. Don't tell your loved ones, I'll be very firm to you. I'll be very harsh with you. If the Lord tells the same thing to you, think about what will happen to you. Then keep silent. When you say, I'm very firm, I'm very harsh, the Lord says, okay, I will do the same thing. No, 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 Lord. You should stay merciful. That is who you are. Let me be firm. Let me be harsh. No. You are called to be like Him. Amen? You are called to speak like Him, be like Him, live like Him, walk like Him. But He speaks in truth and in love. When the time comes. When the time comes, at the appointed season, at the appointed place. Amen? Now you bring it together, the Lord waited. He allowed Uzziah. He helped him everything marvelously. For us to learn from the life of Uzziah. Not to judge him, you are wrong. But rather, what is there for me to eat? What the Bible says? Blessed are those who hunger for righteousness. Not for recognition. Not for appreciation. Righteousness. Prophet Isaiah was hungry for righteousness. Lord, do whatever you want with me. I walk naked, shave my head. I am undone, I am unclean. But Lord, just use me, Lord. I humbly seek. Just let me be your servant, not to be someone whom I want to be, but rather than whoever it is you want to be me to be, I'll just be the stone in your house. Submission. So now, here we read what happened to Azariah. The Lord smote the king so that he was a leper unto the day of his death and dwelt in a several house. This should something that we should never reach in our life. The word several house, spiritually, it is also compared to, you know, like dogs who are also, the lust will not be quenched until the fire come and destroy it. No contentment, no satisfaction, no No grace, no contentment. When I say contentment, you are not filled. The Bible says, blessed are those who hunger after righteousness, they shall be filled. But you say, I'm not filled. The Lord said, which thing that you run after? The matter of which thing? The thing, which thing? The Bible says, I can fill. The Lord said, no. Lord, it looks like your everlasting, never drying fountain is dried. The Lord says, the name itself is a mockery. It's called everlasting, never drying fountain. Yes, Lord, but I'm not filled. Blessed are those who hunger after righteousness. Not chase, not want. Hunger after righteousness. Now, like Prophet Isaiah. Now you read this here. Now go to 2 Chronicles. The one that we did not complete was the introduction of King Uzziah. Brother Clement, read it for us. Chapter 26, verse 1 to 13. That completes what we missed last Sunday by God's grace. 2 Chronicles from verse 1 to 13. God bless you.
Now all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king instead of his father Amaziah.
Amen.
And he built Elath and restored it to Judah after the king rested with his fathers.
Praise the Lord.
Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jehoiada of Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. Now he went out and made war against the Philistines, and broke down the wall of Gath, the wall of Jabneh, and the wall of Ashdod. And he built cities around Ashdod and among the Philistines. God helped him against the Philistines.
Amen.
Against the Arabians who lived in Gurbaal, and against the Mennonites. Also, the Ammonites brought tribute to Uzziah. His fame spread as far as the entrance of Egypt, for he became exceedingly strong.
Strong.
And Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, at the valley gate, and at the corner buttress of the wall. Then he fortified them. Also, he built towers in the desert. He dug many wells, for he had much livestock, both in the lowlands and in the plains. He also had farmers and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved the soil. Moreover, Uzziah had an army of fighting men who went out to war by companies, according to the number on their roll, as prepared by Jael, the scribe, and Manasseh, the officer, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The total number of chief officers of the mighty men of valor was 2,600.
600.
And under their authority was an army of 307,500 that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy.
Amen. Thank you, brother. So, the introduction was beautiful, mighty, powerful, and the end was sad, and a king who had to live with a sickness unto his death. But the Bible says he was white as snow. Amen? So what Prophet Isaiah says? Prophet Isaiah says, Lord, wash me, I will be white as snow. Although my sin covers my life, my weakness covers my everything, but yet, Lord, if you wash me, I will be white as snow. Amen? Submission. So now, Uzziah, who became the Lord is my power, he became his Lord. From the position of being Azariah, who is nothing but God has helped, he was challenged by who? The high priest Azariah. If you don't remember that verse, you can read it again. 2 Chronicles, the same chapter, the verse that says, the high priest Azariah. Please read it, brother. That's just one, that single verse. So that everybody remembers, the high priest's name was Azariah, the king name was also Azariah. Amen. That is the reason for that.
Verse 20.
Yes.
And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him, and there on his forehead, he was leprous.
Amen.
So they thrust him out of the place. Indeed, he also hurried to get out, because the Lord had struck him.
Amen. So now remember, who warned King David? Prophet Nathan.
Who blessed King David? Prophet Nathan. What is the second son name of King David? Nathan. Amen? Solomon, Nathan. Don't forget the genealogy of Jesus Christ on this earth. So, the names that we read in the scripture, you could see there is a before something the Lord is doing and after the Lord is doing. A good way to remember is Genesis ends with Joseph. Gospel begins with Joseph, correct? The earthly father of Jesus Christ, Joseph. And after the Lord died, the one who received the body, what's his name? Joseph. After Judas died, the one whose name was also put in the cast for the Lord, along with Matthias, what's his name? Joseph. Just because there are several names, doesn't mean they all share the same faith, or they all share the same fruit of what the Lord wanted them to achieve. Name is just a sign. Amen? Do you know there is one more friend of ours who brings dishonor to the name of the Lord? There is one friend of ours who threw a spear. Praise the Lord. And there is one more friend of ours who bring dishonor, who profane the name of the Lord. He was killed in a battle. So which Phinehas you want to be? The Lord is asking. Which Azariah you want to be? The Lord is asking. The name is justified by the life behind it. So now, Uzziah was thrust out of the kingdom. Now we are going to focus on a beautiful incident that happened way before this. In the time of a man whose name means God is my salvation. Prophet Elisha. 2 Kings chapter 5. Let's turn your Bibles. 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. I love this story, not for the healing, not for the way the Lord healed, but the way the Lord allowed things in a sequence, and every sequence, every step of the way. You say that the Lord leads me every step of my way. The Bible, it shows to you how He do it. You see the life of Uzziah. Remember, the Lord is my power, my strength. From God has helped. And the Lord also allowed to be marvelously healed. You know what does it mean? My grace is sufficient, but you do not want my grace. But you want my marvelous help. I will give you a permissive will. I will let you take it. But don't come and complain to me. Because of me, you fell. That's a joke. Correct? If Moses allowed divorce, if people say, if you did not allow divorce, I would have lived beautifully with my wife. Moses says, you forced me. I allow because I would never go against your will. Aaron says, I did not want to make golden calf. You forced me. You wanted the earrings to be burned, and behold, there came a golden calf. Permissive will. Do not misunderstand against the perfect will of God. Do you hear me? Both may sound similar. Azariah, permissive will, perfect will. No, entirely different. One who became a leper, one who stood as a chief priest. Sound same doesn't mean the truth is there. Correct? Where there is life, there is the Lord. Where there is light, there is the Lord. Where there is making, there is the Lord. The Lord would never destroy His children. The Lord would never destroy His children. His destruction always brings forth life. So now remember this. Uzziah, mighty king, 52 years of track record, died as a leper. Remember, do you hear me? 52 years of service as a king, died as a leper outside the kingdom, several house. Now, remember the word several house, because we will go deeper by God's grace, because the book of Leviticus talks about house, right? Stones, building, mortar, several house and the house of God. There is a mighty difference between these two. Now, keeping this, we bring it to Naaman. Naaman. Now, verse 1 from chapter 5. Read from verse 1 to verse 7, brother. Verse 1 to verse 7.
Now, Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master.
Yes.
Because by him, the Lord had given him victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrian has gone out on raids and have brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. And she said to her mistress, If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he will heal him of his leprosy. And Naaman went in and told his master and said, thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel. Then the king of Syria said, go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, who said, now be advised, when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy. And it happened, when the king of Israel read the letter, that he tore his clothes and said, am I a god to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks to quarrel with me.
Praise the Lord. Just stand, brother. We will finish this together. So, first 7 verses set the context of Naaman. Actually, I wanted to read full so that we remember the lesson. It's not just a story. It's a great man, a good man, but he was a leper. Do you hear me? You see how irony it is? Good man, great man, but he was a leper. So being leper is not a problem. Do you hear me? Uzziah was a leper, but thrown out of the throne, and he lived in several houses. But he could have avoided that because the way he got leprosy, because he was angry and he did something that he is not supposed to do. Know thyself was not there. He don't know himself. Now, here Naaman, a righteous man, good man, great man, chief captain of King Syria, all good. Now, what is the meaning of the name Naaman? Anyone remember? Pleasant. Sounds beautiful, right? You go and tell Naaman, he's a leper, he sees you. Naaman, I heard a lot about you. Great captain, wonderful seeing you. I heard the meaning of your name is pleasant. He would look at himself, do I look pleasant? I'm full of leprosy, man. Are you kidding me? Are you teasing me? I'm offended. I'm hurt by what you said. No, the meaning of your name means pleasant. You are not supposed to be angry or wroth. I know, I'll take care of it. What happens to him? Now this Naaman, he wanted to find a way out. He submits a petition to the king, and the king sees the letter, he gets angry. Am I a god? There are many servants of God, they use the word, am I a god? Even Moses said that. Am I a god to do this, all of this? There is one who fears him, not me. But this king is taking it as an offensive manner. Is he fighting with me or seeking quarrel with me? And it was so, from verse 8, I will read one verse and you read further. It was so, when Elisha, the man of God, has heard it, the king of Israel had rent his clothes. Again, the garment was rent. That he sent to the king saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? For this matter, why you are hurting yourself? It is not supposed to be you. You are not going to heal him. Then why you are loathing yourself? Why you want to show so much emotions? If it is not meant to be done by you, then keep silent. And Elijah says, why are you hurting yourself? Why are you fighting a battle which you are not invited? Why are you carrying some heavy weight which you were never told to carry? The Lord says, my burden is light. My yoke is easy. Why you have ankle injury, ligament injury, so much pain? And Prophet Elisha says, why did you rent your clothes? Because he says, you should not have done that, correct? If not, the Prophet would not have said, why you rent the clothes? He says, you should not have done that. You are a king. King of Israel. Come on. Remember who you are. And therefore, hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him now come to me. What the Bible says in Leviticus? The man who owneth the house, he considered himself, it seemeth unto me, there is a plague in my house. So I will go to the priest, I will tell the priest, I go through this, I go through that. And the priest shall come and look at him, and he say, what to do next, correct? Now Naaman went to the king. Just now we saw what happened to someone who was a king, but did the role of priest who died as leper. And now Naaman go to the king, instead of going to a priest or a prophet, and asking the king, find a way to heal me. Now what happens next? Let him now come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So the life of Naaman is remembered by all of you because his name was used as a reminder that there is a prophet in Israel.
book of Ezekiel says, go and tell the people of Israel, then there is a prophet in the land of Israel. So now, having a prophet in the time of God's kingdoms, children's kingdoms, it was absolutely critical, crucial for them to go through the storms and be prosperous spiritually. Amen? Be prosperous. Now, read from verse 9 all the way to verse 14, brother.
Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot and stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh shall be restored to you and you shall be clean. But Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abner and the Parphah, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the water of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in rage. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet has told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more than when he says to you, wash and be clean? So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God.
Amen.
And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean.
Amen. Please be seated, brother. Look at the sequence. Naaman went and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. He did not step inside, right? He's waiting outside. So, he's a great man, did good things. That is how the chapter begins, which means when the Lord blessed someone to be honorable, that desire for being a honorable man will take over your mind to the point whereby you will forget to honor the Lord who made you to be honorable in the first place. But you wanted that honorable man title, honorable woman title, to be the crown of your life, and you will do anything for it. Now that Naaman is standing waiting for Prophet Elisha to come down, come out and heal him. Prophet Elisha, he did not even step outside the house. There is a pattern to it. The only difference is Naaman staying outside the house, Elisha inside the house. John the Baptist was inside the prison, Jesus Christ was outside the prison. And John the Baptist said, where is he? Where is my cousin? Just go and tell him. Is he the one or we are waiting for someone else? I am very offended. And Jesus said, you try whatever you want. I'm not coming. I will send a message to you. I'm not coming. I have a job to do. Not to come and give you false promises, fake encouragement. You serve me with cheerful heart. That flesh will be circumcised. John the Baptist is a mighty servant of God. The Lord took the very last branch of offense, frustration from him. And he was perfected before the head was taken out. Correct? He did not die as a fleshful person. John the Baptist, the life is a life of sacrifice. From the day he was born, he was consecrated, separated, became the voice of the wilderness. Yet, he was offended when he was thrown into the small, tiny cage. Why? He was thinking, Jesus will come and deliver him. Then Jesus like, at least for you, beheading. For me, Calvary man, let me go and prepare myself. The Lord says, they hated me first, before they hated you. If you think you suffered enough, think about me. What are you on Calvary? You never stand a chance to tell the Lord, I suffered more than you. Never. The difference between suffering of people and the Lord himself is, we are all sinners, but who is he? We have no power, but who is he? In a fraction of a second, he can burn the entire earth. But yet, he is waiting with graciously, mercifully. Who is he? He was going through all the shame for you and me. No man on this earth who was never born before, who would ever born even from now on. No one can say, I suffered more than Jesus on Calvary. If someone say, the Holy Spirit is not leading the heart. The Lord is the one who suffered the most. Amen? All the time. Now, wash or burn. That's the title of today's sermon. Might be thinking, we have not read any verse yet, isn't it? Wash yourself in the water of life or burn yourself in the fire of Holy Ghost, you decide.
Wash yourself in the filthy river of Babylon, or burn yourself in the furnace fire, brimstone fire coming from the presence of the Lord. You decide, the high priest says. And what is to be washed? Not you. There is an entire chapter hitting the bull's eye on washing the garment itself. That is why in this chapter, when you see, when Naaman goes, he took 10 garments, raiment for change. Why? He's a leper. No. Because of sickness, he has to change the garment every now and then, or else it will be very uncomfortable to him. He's suffering in sickness. Now look at this. Verse 9, when Naaman came with horses and with his chariot, remember the verse, some put their trust in horses and chariot, and I will trust the name of the Lord. Amen? Naaman came as a great man of God, waiting outside the house of Elisha. I heard that you are a prophet, just come and kill me. You know, get things done, I'm very busy. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Jesus Christ sent a messenger to John the Baptist. You go and tell my cousin. He keep on complaining, criticizing, being offended for so many things. Just tell him, blessed is he who is not offended in me. Case closed. Correct? The Lord says, blessed is he who is not offended in me, not outside, not up, not behind, in me. If we are in him, if he is in us, the Lord can say, my presence is more powerful than your offense. Correct? You say word O-F-F-E-N-D, offend, right? Just give some space, off, and the entire meaning of the word disappears. Correct? Just give some space. You will see the light of it. Don't keep it too tight. The word becomes offend because there is no space in between. Off, end, offending, off, ending, it's gone, off, gone, it ended. But it is not ending, never ending, because the Lord says, see what I want to see. Now Naaman, the reason why Elisha sent a messenger is for him to be wrote, for him to learn a lesson. Because that was a mistake that Naaman should learn. He had a flesh. Everyone who comes near to the prophet, he is not simply running a GP clinic or a private hospital. He is always focusing on the most important healing. Spiritual healing, mental healing, more than the physical healing. Physical healing, you will die. No matter how much you receive healing, my brethren, you will die. If the Lord tarry before you die. Correct? So, Elisha sent a messenger. Let him be offended, then Elisha is waiting. For what? For verse 12. Verse 11 says, and Naaman was wroth. Are you kidding me? My name is Naaman, you know. You don't even come outside, don't talk to me. I am so disappointed. You are not showing any respect to me. You want healing or respect? You want healing or respect? You want the Lord's touch or the respect of people? You want the Lord's good report or the recognition, appreciation of people? And Naaman says, and went away. He didn't even do what the prophet said. Look at the challenge. Look at the vulnerability. Look at the problem of being angry. For no reason. Look at the problem of being sad. For no reason. They hated me without a cause. They were offended without a cause. They were suffering without a cause. And the Lord says, I have not done anything without a cause. Which side we are standing? If there is a cause, let there be justification in the word of God. And the Lord says, if you can find justification, surprise, you won't be offended. Why? Blessed is he who is not offended in me. If you believe the word of God, you better believe all of it. Don't tell me there are 10 promises, 7 good for me, 3 my familiar spirit, the person who I am can't take it. The Lord says, when you enter the gates, don't come with excuses. No excuse. The Holy Spirit is more powerful than anything you can think of. Greater is he, not lesser is he. Greater is he in me, not outside me. Now, that is not the mistake that Naaman said. What he spoke was the worst thing that he spoke. You see what he says. Behold, I thought. What do you mean by you thought? You only asked for healing. What do you mean by you thought? Which means you wanted the healing to come in this way. Then who are you? Are you the healer? I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord and his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are you the prophet?
No.
Just now Elisha said, King, why are you rending your clothes? And Naaman says, I speak like a prophet. I think like a prophet. Then you heal yourself.
No.
King Abimelech was sick. Who healed him? You know the beauty is, King Abimelech is talking to God. And he says, Lord, you know, I have some sickness. Yeah, I know. You can heal me, right? No, I won't heal you. Why? You go to my son Abraham, he will heal you.
Amen.
If your flesh says, why should I go and pray with others? Why? The Lord says, oh yes. You may think you have the key, but that key would not go into the lock. The Lord will give the key of your lock to him. Your lock to him. You know, my brother, the Lord says, abide. He's not joking, alright? He's not joking. You might be praying for some deliverance for years and years and years, but you won't see any deliverance because you think the Lord will throw the key to you. You're like this. The Lord says the keys to Sister Joyce, Sister Zoe, Paul, Sister Wendy, Sister Annalene. The Lord would say he will swap the key. He will make us to go to one another, share our burden to one another as the Lord led. As the Lord led. And you will find the key. The healing of Abimelech was not with God Almighty. He said, I gave it to Abraham. I'm so sorry. Why? Because I am the word of God. I'm speaking to you. Okay. He is a part of my word. Okay. Your healing, I put in his heart. You go and talk to him. He will pray and you will be healed. Now, Naaman, angry. Uzziah, angry. Naaman, very sad. Uzziah, very sad. Now I say, if you are so angry, if you are so sad, take a time, be quiet, in prayers, in silence, and ask the Lord, Lord, you are my healer, what is happening to me? Lord, you said the joy of the Lord is my strength, why I don't feel the joy? Lord, you said you will never leave me, never forsake me, you hold me in your mighty hand, then what's happening to me? Ask the Lord, he will speak to you.
Amen.
Do not misunderstand that the Lord is allowing you to embrace the fellowship of the suffering. He would never, ever do it in a way that you would feel so painful. The enemy comes and hurts you all the time in dreams and vision. You have become the puppet of the devil. Remember, no one can come against God's children. They can come and tease, make some noise. Like Shimei, Akusha was cursing David, and David keep on walking. Job says, let's go and kill him. Oh, keep silent. I can endure this. I have a job to do. I have a job to do. And what is the job? To finish my salvation? Shame on us. He is called the author and the finisher of your salvation. Then there is another job for you. To speak life to someone in the bus. To speak life to someone in your office. To speak life to your family. To speak life to some stranger. Someone is going to be saved because of your life. In Jesus' name, it is the truth. Believe it. The season of harvest will never begin until we all come to the agreement that we are ready. Now, let's read. Naaman says, shameful thing. He says, are not Abana and Pharpar the rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? As if God is only here. As if the prophet is only here. As if river of Jordan is so better. I will go to Abana. I will go to Pharpar several houses. If you are not content with the place where you are planted, you would never be content no matter how long you travel all around the world. In Jesus' name, the scripture says that. 2 Timothy chapter 5, verse 15. Turn your Bibles. 2 Timothy chapter 5. 2 Timothy chapter 5. Now we will read 1 Timothy first. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. Or verse 7 and 8. 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 7 and 8. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. Naaman says, let me be healed so that I can recover from the leprous. No, I don't want to be blameless. And the Lord says, Uzziah became leper, white as snow. No blame, man. He is full of supper. Don't worry. He is fully covered. No spots. No blemish. And Timothy talks about the provision for the woman. And in that chapter, look at these two words. These things give in charge that they may be blameless, if any provide not for his own, and specially for those of his own house. if any, provide not for his own himself, deny yourself, receive the grace, and serve the Lord in his house. It is called own house. Is it our own house? Has to be. Are we the people of the same family? Of course. Then why he died on Calvary? You Gentiles? Me Gentile? Some are purchased by the blood. Some were born in the house of Abraham. But all they went through the fire of Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now you read this here. If any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith. What? What is this? He hath denied the faith. It's worse than infidel. What a powerful word it is. If we can't even take care of our house, if we can't even rejoice with our house, if we can't even sing and dance with our house, if we can't even pray together with our house, he that denied the faith, worse than infidel. The Lord says, fill your cup, I will only serve you when you overflow. I won't hit at the bottom, make a pipe to draw that water from you. Overflow, fill, abundant will be served. The cup has to be filled. The house must be filled by the unity of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. If you think that house better, this house better, several house, we will die as a leper, roaming here and there, never feel content. Amen. Valley is the beauty of God's work in our life. Do not despise valleys. You are strengthened in valley. You are edified in valley. You are encouraged in valley. You are taught in valley more than the mountain. Do not desire for the mountain all the time. Amen. Sometimes darkness is better. You could see the light of God beautifully. Amen. Now, come back. Now, Naaman despised the river of Jordan, despised the prophet, despised the house of the prophet, saying, he won't even respect me. He won't even come and have an official, respectful, honorable conversation with me because I'm a honorable man. That's what the name people gave me. And Elisha, he sent a messenger. Just tell him he's healed. Just let him go away. But now the thing is, and his servants came near. When a righteous man turneth away from righteousness to wicked ways, you will go and tell him, don't do it, my brother. Don't do it, my sister. It is not in the scripture. If the servant did not speak to Naaman, tell me what would have happened. Amen. If the servant did not tell Naaman, my Lord, you have done foolishly. You despise the prophet, despise the house, you compare the houses, compare the rivers, and you despise everything. Now you think you can just go away. Why? There is one who owned the house. He that owned the house will come down. Miriam thought Aaron is the high priest. Maybe she can settle. But he that owned up the house came down. Amen. Korah thought he can settle with Moses, Aaron directly. But he that owned up the house came down. Amen. Now, and his servants came near and said unto him and said, my father, look at the respect that they gave Naaman. Age, experience, respect, everything he received, but yet he was angry. What a shame. Uzziah, marvelously helped. To the point whereby your heart was lifted up to your own destruction. And he said, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing. What, my brethren? Do some great thing. What Leviticus said, the plague? The thing. Not the great thing. The thing. Your health, your wealth, your whatever that you think you're good. Apostle Paul says, the thing. Consider as done. Nothing profits, nothing can take to heaven. I'm so sorry. Your bank balance not acceptable in the heavenly kingdom. That thing is called the plague, and the plague spreads, and be aware it will cleave unto thee. Correct? That is what Leviticus teaches. Now, remember this and read what the people say. They say, how much rather than when he said to thee, wash and be clean. He just told you good thing. Naaman, he didn't say anything to you. He did not curse you. He simply said, wash and be clean. Oh, does that mean I'm not clean? You came for healing, but if the priest say unclean, you are offended. Ah. My brethren, Let's come back to census. If we are not clean, then why the Lord have to shed blood on Calvary? Among the two living birds, one was killed. The other living bird was allowed to live. You, me. But not simply. There was a garment of red, of blood upon that bird. Wherever it flies, you see the wings. Oh, red. Oh, blood. Oh, my Lord died for me. Now, and the servants say, the prophet did not say, he didn't say, I curse you, die. He simply said, wash and be clean. Then what does he want? I want respect. So you want respect more than healing. You want respect more than salvation. You want respect more than anything. The Lord said, they stripped me on Calvary. They spat at me. They spat on me. Respect. Isaiah, he was walking naked for 3 years. Respect. First creation. Adam, his wife betrayed him. Respect. First son, Abel, he was killed by Cain. Respect. My brethren, the true respect is what the Lord gives to you. Think about what the Lord thinks of me, not what people think of you. Because all have sinned, fall short of the glory of the Lord. Our good report means nothing. Our endorsement value is zero. There is one who can endorse you with a crown of glory. Wait for him. Now, the servant spoke life, but the beauty is the seed of God, Naaman, he understood. He did not say, I was even angry with the prophet. You come and advise me, I will kill you. No. The Bible says, then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child. And he was clean. The hand of Moses went to the bosom. The servant of God, Naaman, went to the river of Jordan. He came out with a beautiful flesh, like a child. Better than his previous one. What? Better than what he was thinking. We will continue the second half of Naaman's story next week. But I want to end the sermon with a video. I believe the audio is able to be played. So I want all of us to look at the video, because the best teachings that we can get is always from the nature. Amen? Because God created it. And what he created stayed true and pure until now. It's just us who fell from that purity. Amen? From that purity. So I pray that we watch the video. I'm not going to speak. I don't want to disturb your meditation on that 3 minutes video. But I pray that you put yourself in that video. Because what you see is not a robot. It's a lively thing created by the life. Everything that breathes, praise and worship the Lord. So learn a lesson. And I believe in the name of the Lord, it will speak to you. After that, we will continue. Okay. So there is no voice, so I will be the voice. So this is a beautiful documentary that talks about how stingrays hunt their prey. And in this case, the prey for the stingray is the army of crabs. And we know that crab has a very strong shell, quite strong and very rugged, you know, very hard. So even when we eat that food, we have to remove the shell and eat the flesh, correct? If not, the shell will kill you. It can hurt your throat. But this stingray is very wise by its creation, the way it's created. It can sense and smell the hardness of the shell and goes for the crab which the shell is not complete. The armor is not built. So whichever the crab, the armor is not complete, it always go and hide behind the crabs which are grown up with hard shell. So it hide, find shelter, and yet the stingray is able to find its prey and it can, you know, eat the crab but spit out the shell. It can suck all the flesh and the food and it will simply suck out whatever is vulnerable to the presence or the hunting ground of the stingray. It will have to run for the togetherness so that when a stingray senses, it cannot see which one is its prey. Because everything is hiding one another and everything is covering one another. Now you could see here, they are all not scared of the stingray, but rather even some, they went and fight with the stingray, although as small as they could be. You could see the way it hovers around above the army of crabs. And when the time comes when the crabs could not protect the little ones, the young ones, on whom the shell is not fully developed, they will build a tower. They will put one upon one upon one upon one. And they will build their own tower. And all the little ones will be hidden at the core of the tower, to the point whereby the stingray cannot take the prey. And the prey is hidden inside the togetherness of the group of crabs. And one of these is actually a robot which was sent as a spy to take this video. And this documentary is about that spy, what it's going through. It's not a lively thing. It's a crab, but it's a robot crab, not the lively robot. But they designed it with the same garment, I repeat, same garment, same color, so that the army of crabs don't understand that it is not a lively thing, but just because they look the same, they also cover the robot because of the garments. Now you can see it's a robot, you could see it's not a real crab, has no life. In other words, it's nothing but death. Okay? Death. Now this is a robot, you could see the legs, it's all machine, artificial. And all the other, that's a camera at the center of the crab. All the other crab, they have no reasoning, no sixth sense. They are not intelligent like us. They are not so smart like this. They are so stupid to the point whereby they will glorify the name of the Lord any point of time. Hear me. And they cover that robot thinking that he is one among them. To protect the life of that robot crab. All the lively crab, they put their life on risk. Because they thought he is one among us. She is one among us. You can close it. And because of the togetherness, that stingray, which can eat 50 crabs a day, will find difficulties in eating because everything covers one another. But yet, those think that I could go and fight with the stingray alone, with all the power and mighty, that stingray could still kill. So, when Ephesians 6 talks about armor of God, don't play with the armor of God. You hear me? Never play with the armor of God. There is a conditions apply statement for everything God has spoken. Not everything you read will come to fulfillment in your life. There is a condition behind it. If you do this, if you do this. What Prophet Isaiah said? If he be willing, yes, I'm willing, I'm living. No. If he be willing and be obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. So now, this video, you might have seen the stingray as a bad guy. But I told you, there are two plagues. One plague that kills, one plague that brings life. So now, let me flip the story in a good way. Okay? Let me flip the story in a good way. If you think the stingray is the beast devouring the innocent, beautiful crabs, you would think about sympathy for the crabs and angry for stingray. Now, if I tell the Lord is working among his children, if I put the stingray as a work of the Lord, you could still take a lesson from that. What the Lord says, let him be who is righteous, be righteous still. Let him be who is wicked, be wicked still. I will come. What the Lord says, I will come. I will come as a thief. I will know how to weigh you. I know how to examine you. I know how to eat the good of your life. And whatever the flesh that you think that you want to carry, I will spit it out. The stingray would never eat the shell, you know. It spit out. So the Lord wants to eat the flesh when we offer our life as a burnt sacrifice. What the priest will do, my brethren? The priest will eat the flesh. The red heifer, they sacrifice. Blood, they sprinkle. But the flesh, they burn and they eat it. What does it mean? You tell the Lord, Lord, you are the bread of life, okay? I will eat the bread of life. Oh, wonderful. Come and offer yourself a sacrifice. I will eat your flesh. The Lord can destroy our weaknesses. The Lord can destroy our stronghold. The Lord can destroy our problems. But I pray that we submit and learn to take the good and leave the bad. Even from the bad thing, you can take the good thing and leave the bad. Even from the good thing, you can know the bad thing and leave it out. Discernment. Amen. So as we close the sermon, let's read five verses, Leviticus 13, the treatment of garment. Sometimes I won't be able to finish on time because I don't prepare to finish on time. If the Lord leads me to finish early, I'll finish early. If I couldn't, if it creates some problem, forgive me. But if you have anything that is very urgent, you can always, you know, leave on time. But I will try to be timely, you know, as we go forward. Leviticus 13, 5 verses. Verse 47. The garment, Leviticus 13, 47. The garment also that the plague of leprosy is in, whether it be a woolen garment or a linen garment, whether it be in the warp or woof or linen or off woolen, whether in a skin or in anything made of skin. Look at the category of garments, my brethren. When the Lord put the coats of skins on Adam and Eve, it was also like a garment for a moment of time. Amen? You should type any garment made of woolen, fine linen, warp, woof or skin, or anything made of skin. Correct? Remember the different types of garments. But the Lord says, it doesn't matter. Lord, my garment is fine linen. It doesn't matter. No, Lord, my garment is woolen. It doesn't matter. Lord, my garment is only made of warp. It doesn't matter. It's only made of wood. It doesn't matter. I'm living in some in forest. I can only have the garment of some skin of the goat. It doesn't matter. The plague spreads. Do you hear me? The plague has no partiality. It spreads. When the Lord cursed Edom, Moabites, Ammonites around the land of Israel, He cursed Judah and Jerusalem in the same manner. Book of Amos, we were studying last time. No partiality, amen. God is no respecter of persons. Garment of woolen, fine linen, warp, woof, skin, anything made of skin, then the rest applicable. What He says? If the plague be greenish or reddish in the garment or in the skin, either in the warp or in the woof or in the thing of skin, it is a plague of leprosy, period, and shall be shewed unto the priest, case closed. And the priest shall look upon the plague and shut up it that hath the plague 7 days. It, what? The garment itself, oh yes. Shut up it that hath the plague 7 days. And he shall look on the plague on 7th day. If the plague be spread in the garment, either in the warp or in the woof or in the skin or in any work that is made of skin. Which means in any work that is made of skin. The plague is a fretting leprosy and it is unclean. He shall therefore burn that garment. I pray the Lord bless all of us not to go to that extent. But rather we come back to our senses when the Lord says, wash your garment. Prophet Elisha says, wash and thou be clean. Some through the waters, some through the fire. Amen. And may the Lord bless us to understand how gracious and merciful He is to all of us. And He says, it will be burnt. Either in a rock, and if the, verse 42, wherein the plague is, for it is a fretting leprosy, it shall be burnt in the fire, and if the priest shall look and behold the plague be not spread in the garment, either in the warp or in the woof or in anything of skin, then the priest shall command that they wash the thing. What is the thing? Come on, priest, give me a name. Anything that is against God. All things are possible. Which thing? Not what you want. All things, yea, the deep things of God. Whatever is not all things, yea, the deep things of God, nay, the things of the devil, things of the flesh. And the Lord says, the thing, anything, 7 things the Lord hates. Remember? 7 things. He compared as a thing. So now, wash or burn the garment of woolen, fine linen, warp, woof, skin, in fire, burn in fire, or wash in water. The Lord says, choose. Which one you are going to be. Now, what is the garment, brethren? Fine linen clothing, the righteous deed of saints. You can burn your work, but the Lord can say, let me wash your work before I burn it, because I don't want to burn it. And they wash the thing, 44, wherein the plague is, and he shall shut it up 7 days more. 7 days more. We will continue by God's grace next Sunday. I pray the Lord bless us to remember. Naaman was very close to be burnt. But the servants who spoke life to him, they gave him a warning. My Lord, don't do it. Do the right thing. And Naaman listened. Do you hear me? Naaman listened. Obeyed. Do you hear me? He obeyed. His anger was able to be overcome by the goodness of servants around him. He washed exactly 7 times, not 6 times. He did what the prophet said and he was healed. But the story was not over. Korah, Datam, Abiram, the thing was removed. But the side effect was not over. What happened to Gehazi? The leprosy of Naaman cleaved unto Gehazi, who is a servant of Elisha. What? Look, imagine. Elisha is standing, Gehazi is standing, someone came for healing. And Elisha says, oh Gehazi, just go and tell him you are healed. Gehazi go and tell him he's healed. He came inside. Naaman was very angry. Servant tell Naaman, no, don't be angry. Wash 7 times. He washed 7 times. His life settled. He received healing. He went away. But what happened to the servant? Look at the trap. The whole plot was not for Naaman. It was a plot for Gehazi. It was a trap for Gehazi. The rebellion of Korah, Datam, Abiram was not for 300. It was a trap for 14,700. Remember, the plague never dies. Cleave unto thee if you are careless. No one is strong enough to fight against anything without the holy things of the Lord. We will continue by God's grace next week. The Lord will bless us. God bless you all. Let's all stand. We pray and close. Let's just sing that chorus. The chorus, Whispering Hope. We just sing the chorus a few times. And we pray and close. Just a chorus. Thank you, Lord, for all you have done. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for the Calvary. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for enduring the shame for all of us. Help us, Lord, that we would never forget what you did for us on Calvary. Amen. The blood is still applied on all of us. Amen. No matter whatever we want to do, no matter wherever we want to fly. Lord, we pray, help us to remember the blood is on us. The blood of Christ is on us. It's the only way we can enter into the holiest. And Lord, help us that we never fly away from thy presence. And we never run away from thy presence, O Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is liberty. And God is no respecter of persons. Lord, you bless the lands wherever we are. You bless the church wherever we are. You bless the brethren wherever we are. You are in the midst of your children, O Lord. Help us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for washing us, not burning us to death, but washing us to life and burning us to be fruitful in the Spirit of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Help us, Lord. whatever the breach you see as a high priest in the house, we submit. Because any of us, Lord, could be vulnerable to any such attack. If at all we stand firm, it's because of your grace and mercy, Lord. Help us, Lord. Bless us, Lord, to self-examine, to self-deny, for the high priest to help us to stand firm, to be washed thoroughly in spirit, in blood, in truth, and the grace and mercy of your agape love. Thank you, Lord, for all things. In Jesus' name I prayed. Amen and amen.